Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up later in the broadcast, we'll take you to the Chesapeake Film Festival in Easton, Maryland, to find out how they've garnered attention from big festivals like Sundance and Tribeca in just a few short years. And later, we'll continue our political profiles with two candidates for Ocean City Council who personify the vast differences in political ideologies here in the resort. But first, we'll dive into the headlines with Greg Bassett, the executive editor of the Daily Times newspaper in Salisbury. Greg joins me here at the Park Recording Studio in Ocean City. Greg, welcome. Nice to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
So, of course, it's election season, and before we get into the smaller races, let's look at one congressional race in Maryland that took quite a dramatic turn in recent weeks. Wendy Rosen, a Democrat, she bowed out of her race with Republican Andy Harris after allegations of voter fraud in two states. Many folks believe that Rosen was a heavy underdog anyway, but what impacts does her dropping out of this race have on perceptions of Democrats in the region? And does this solidify the Republican stronghold on that particular congressional seat?
Yeah, Andy Harris was going to win no matter what. And if Wendy Rosen had gotten 30% of the vote, it would be a, sort of a victory for her. And even that's a whopping. But still, the allegations of voter fraud and this being used as sort of an anecdotal example of voter fraud nationwide has been interesting. It seems, though, not to give her a pass at all, that she was more dumb than malicious in how she did this, where she registered to vote for a friend in Florida. You got to wonder how often it happens. The talk of, you know, having photo ID would solve the problem. That wouldn't solve the problem. But certainly the Democrats reacted very fast to this. The person who finished second in the primary, John LaFerla, is going to be the write-in candidate. There's not enough time to change the ballots. Write-in candidates almost never win. Lisa Murkowski won in Alaska in a high-profile race last time. But certainly Andy Harris will walk away with this one.
Do you think in the future that this really, because of this controversy, that whoever runs as a Democrat the next time is going to have even more of an uphill battle?
Possibly, if people want to use the Rosen thing. But really, she seemed like an outsider anyway. She coincidentally lives on the same street that Andy Harris lives on the Western Shore. You know, she's a neighbor of Andy Harris. She has no real experience. She wasn't favored in the primary. It was sort of a surprise that she won. We did contact, there was a rumor for a brief period last week that the Democrats were going to put Wayne Gilchrist up, the former congressman who was defeated by Harris in a primary. We contacted Gilchrist. He said he'd be interested in the race, but the more that we went back and forth with him, he's still a registered Republican. It doesn't seem likely that he would be able to participate in the race unless he came out and made himself a write-in candidate as well.
Yeah. Going into the November election, do you see any major shakeups in congressional seats throughout the Eastern Shore?
No, everything seems pretty stable, both in Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia, with incumbents certainly having the advantage at this point.
You know, so let's move on to the municipal elections that I mentioned in you know, the prelude to this segment in our conversation, the Ocean City election. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking with, you know, some of the candidates. One of the big things that came out this week is that former city manager Dennis Dare announced his candidacy for city council. We'll be speaking with him in a few minutes in the next segment. But, you know, just from a journalist perspective, the storyline of former city manager coming back to run against some of the very people that ousted him from his job that he held for 21 years has got to be interesting and will make this election, you know, maybe something that people pay a lot of attention to. But do you think it's going to create more voter turnout?
Yeah, I think it's going to energize the turnout. And there's a lot of energy for high turnout in this election. The last Ocean City election was the lowest turnout that anyone could ever remember. It was a really embarrassing low turnout, especially for Ocean City, which is usually has a very high turnout. I had to chuckle. There was a grapevine submission in our newspaper, which comes from readers, and it said that Dennis Dare was going to bite the hand that used to feed him, which kind of made me laugh a little bit. And yeah, Dennis is mad, and he's running a lot because he was fired by this council. So it's going to be a very interesting race. I think it's going to be painful as a journalist to cover parts of it because now the people on the council that were motivated in his firing say that they're going to finally tell why Dennis was fired. And they're going to use that against him in the campaign because they're going to be running against him. And then he's going to certainly have a lot to say, too. He's taken a nostalgic approach so far. He's taken a very familiar approach. He certainly knows everybody in ways that no one else does in the city government. The line has always been that the city manager, a county manager, knows where all the bodies are buried.
of the people that, that have filed so far, and two people that have not filed so far are incumbents, Joe Hall and Jim Hall, of that, you know, council majority that ousted or voted to oust Dennis Dare a year ago. They reportedly will be filing within the next week or so before the October deadline. But of the four incumbents that are going to be running for re-election, who do you think has the best chance of losing their seat? Councilman Doug Simek, Councilwoman Mary Knight, Councilman Joe Hall, or Council President Jim Hall?
Well, you know, Ocean City's a, it's a weird place when it comes to elections, so it's really, really hard to predict what's going to happen. But I think I would say that Mary Knight is safe based on what I know now. I would say that Joe Hall certainly has drawn a lot of attention to himself and not all of it positive. So I think he's someone who had been on the council and had been knocked off the council before. So I think anything could happen there. Jim Hall has been on the council for a long time and has a pretty good record in terms of the public safety aspects of the job. He's very involved in the fire department and in the police department. Some people would argue too involved. Doug sort of aligns himself with Mary. They're in that sort of the minority going up against the – it's like a lot of 4-3 votes on the council right now. Joe Matrisic is planning a comeback. Mm-hmm. I think he would align probably with Doug and Mary to a degree. And then you have Dennis. So it's going to be a really interesting race. But I think, you know, if you listen to the talk in town, people are wondering what's going on with the Halls. They are not related, by the way, Jim and Joe Hall. And what exactly was their – role in what happened with Dennis Dare.
Mm-hmm. Do you see of any of the newcomers or the people that have not held seats in the past or prominent positions in city government, such as Dennis Dare, do you see anybody making a major dent as far as votes go? Or do you think this is pretty much going to be the four incumbents and Matrisic and Dare in this race?
Yeah, usually we interview these people as part of a endorsement process or a learning process, you know, for the stories that we write in advance of elections. I haven't met all of them. They're not all known to me, but there have been some council members who have been very good who were never known to me and make a definite impression in these meetings. Mary Knight, one of them. I never met Mary until the first time that she ran. I don't think she won the first time. I think she won the second time. But, you know, she really impressed me. I was really surprised.
You know, I want to take a turn from local politics and kind of broaden the scope a little bit. Obviously, we're in a national election season. There is a constant 24-hour barrage of everything, you know, Barack Obama and Governor Mitt Romney. What is your take on how the public is viewing this election and this race? Do you think people have just totally tuned it out and, you know, they have essentially gone to their respective corners? Do you think there's any discourse in the middle based on this intense coverage by the media?
No, I don't see any discourse in the middle. I mean, there's 7 weeks to go and I'm already fed up with it personally. I mean, every day in my job, I'm inundated with emails, grapevine submissions, letters, just, you know, nasty voicemails, people calling me a liberal, people calling me a conservative. If we have a supposed anti-Romney story in the paper, there's feedback. If it's an anti-Obama story in the paper, it's feedback. And they're not even anti. It's just news that's going on. Lately, this 47% comment by Romney has our phones melting. Everyone has an opinion about that. You know, how dare he? No, he's exactly right. And they sort of want us to hold us accountable for how we feel about what Romney has said. As journalists, we don't really care what Romney has said. We'll just pass it on to the readers and let them make their decisions. The other thing that's interesting in this area is that, yes, the lower shore will vote inevitably for Romney. He will carry the shore. That's just how it works. But Obama inevitably will win the state of Maryland. So the votes that are cast on the lower shore, tragically, won't really even be counted in the national race in terms of electoral votes. That's just a fact. And it's a sad fact. It's a horrible fact. But it's just the way things go in the politics of this state.
Let's switch from national politics now and let's go back to the local front. It came out, I read in your paper probably, you know, a week ago, that Chief Bernadette Tupino, the police chief here in Ocean City, longtime police chief, is a finalist in Sarasota, Florida for the chief job there. I guess how real is this, you know, possibility that she may leave?
Yeah, I think Bernadette Tupino's done a really good job. I think, you know, it's the first female police chief in Ocean City and what she was up against. I think she's done a really admirable job. And certainly we've worked together in very difficult circumstances where she didn't like things that we wanted to report, that we tried to extract information from her that she didn't want to give. So it hasn't always been, you know, great between us, but I really admire her as a professional. She's got a year left, I think, on her contract. She's always said that she wanted to be in Florida. She's up for this job in Sarasota. She's one of the five finalists. If she gets it, she'll go. If she doesn't get it, I think she's gone within a year anyway. It's been, what, 10 years that she's been in the office, in the position. And, you know, she's reached her max with Ocean City, as you said. So I think she's going to go on good terms.
You know, it's Sunfest this weekend, and that usually signals the end. It seems like there's like four or five ends to the summer.
Yes,
Labor Day, and then there's Bike Week, and then there's Sunfest. And this one's pretty much the end of it. You know, whenever you go and get the alligator on a stick or the funnel cake, it seems to be the end. But this year, with so much talk about whether or not Ocean City did well and you know, where is our local economy, as we pause to celebrate the season that has ended and we look ahead to the off season when things get very lean and there's not a lot going on, where do you think Ocean City sits going into the off season, and how do you think that off season is going to be for this region?
Yeah, again, you know, everything with us depends on the price of gas and the national economy and how many dollars are in people's pockets. Weather also is a big factor. We had a pretty good year last year because the weather stayed relatively warm for the entire winter, so the off season was pretty good. So far, everything looks good for this shoulder season. There haven't been any hurricanes yet. The weekends have been very busy. Sunfest will bring 190,000 people to the beach this weekend. And for me, I really enjoy Sunfest. As a local, it's a good time to say goodbye to summer. The Friday night event is always fun because you see a lot of people who are locals, and people come back to town for it. It's sort of like the town fair in a way. Sunfest is fun. It's just a great time, and it looks like the weather's going to be great.
Greg Bassett is the executive editor at the Daily Times newspaper in Salisbury, Maryland. Greg, always nice to see you, and thanks for joining me here on Coastal Connection.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Russo.